All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur and John Iadarola with you guys. Trey Beatty says, I appreciate John sharing his frustration of the current state of affairs and concern of the uncertainty about how this is affecting our immediate and longer term future. I rant like this to myself and others daily. I'm sure most TYT viewers do it too. Riley Grady writes, in the freedom of information was one of the last bastions of the freedom left. Sad but not surprised. And Brian Newton puts it a little bit more clearly and succinctly when he says, we're fucked. Members of the day are John Paulson and Catelyn Yoder. We'll have a great post game for you guys as we always do. We also have old school tonight. So make sure you check that out live if you're a member. I thought we had a great old school, pre-Thanksgiving old school. And hey, thank you for putting that up. JosephDemocrats.com/Allison. Can I see 181 by the end of the show? That's really not asking for much. Okay. So if you can participate, that's to take down one of the most conservative Democrats in the country. That's Dianne Feinstein.
What's the 203,000 for?
It's for something.
It's a reference to something?
It is a reference to something. I just forgot it.
A lot.
No, that's why it's exact, right? Okay. It's to get something.
That's true. Oh, is it to get access to the lists?
No, the voter rolls was like $147,000.
Okay.
This is to get something else on top, which I should look into. Anyway.
It's probably important.
All right, so justdemocrats.com/Allison for that. And of course, if you want to become a member and check out all of our shows, including the postgame and the old school tonight, tytnetwork.com/join. Yes. Okay, what's next?
Okay, now we're going to move into some dark territory. This week, CNN released a video apparently showing the sale of African migrants into slavery taken in a Libya market. Let's watch.
Big strong boys for farm work, he says. 400. 700. 700. 800. The numbers roll in. These men are sold for 1,200 Libyan pounds, $400 a piece.
So, look, this is perhaps one of the darkest turns in this ongoing migrant crisis. I mean, we've been reporting on it for years, and obviously there's the thousands and thousands of people who've lost their lives trying to move across the Mediterranean. There have been reports all throughout this year of people being blackmailed and held hostage. When I was in Oslo reporting on the humanitarian organization meeting, there was a woman who had helped to free literally thousands of people from those sorts of like blackmailings and hostage takings. But to see a slave market operating in 2017 is particularly dark.
So I'd gone down to Charleston, South Carolina last year, and I visited an old slave market and now turned into a museum. And they explained how they auction people off, and sometimes they separate families. And by the way, it's not in that video, but they are separating families as well. And what is not talked about a lot because it's so uncomfortable is the rape that happens for migrants in present day throughout the world, and also in slavery in the old times, vastly underreported, under talked about because it makes people uncomfortable, was the nonstop rape of slaves. So as I was going through that slave market, then I saw this report, and CNN did a great job here, and full video in the description box, the link to it. It sounded just like
exactly like it.
Just like what used to happen in the old days. And sometimes some people in the country will say, oh, the slaves were sold off in Africa to begin with. Yeah, we know that, right? And that doesn't make it any better, it doesn't make it any worse. And so and yes, slavery happened all across the world, and we thought we had eradicated it, and now it's back.
Yeah.
And look, there's some form of modern slavery in America where we make our prisoners work for $1 a day, just because zero a day would be literal slavery. So they're like, okay, we'll give them $1 for a day's work just so that we technically don't call it slavery.
Yeah.
In this case, they're not giving the dollar, they're auctioning them off just like the terrible times have passed.
Now, we have another video we want to show you. This is of a Nigerian man being interviewed by CNN International, talking about his story of being taken into slavery and his eventual escape, thankfully. But a warning, this is an incredibly emotional, tragic tale that he's going to relay in this video. But here it is.
No food, no drinking water. I was sued. On my way coming, I was sued. So after I was sued, they asked me to demand a ransom. The pusherman that put me from Nigeria, I gave him money, did not pay. So they said, since he's not paid, he did not pay that money. They now sold me. I was there, the person who came to buy me gave the man money. They asked me to pay money, so probably you must have been there for like 3 months. They will start beating you. From a week, they will start beating you so that your money will come quickly. So I was there for 8 months before I could pay my money and I went out. Look at most of the people here. If you check their body, you see the mark, they're beating. With electric, even your boot, they took something like a sharp object. Understand? Most of them lost their life there. Many are dying every day. No phone call. Their family will be thinking that that person is dead. He has lost his life. Know that he's just in one place suffering. Going back home now, I'm totally frustrated. I don't know where to start from. Because I spent my life savings leaving the country. You understand? Go. Going back home now. A lot of my friends, we start together. Most of them are in Europe now. In the business they are doing, most of them have grown up. So I go back and start back from square one. It's very painful. It's very painful. Even when they gave us food here, water, that's not the main problem to me. The main problem to me is I'm going to start. That's just the main problem. Because I've lost a lot. My mother have lost a lot too. So it's very difficult. So all I have to say is that if they say the European Union are helping. So in this kind of case, you deporting numbers of people like this, you don't have to deport them with empty handed. Because if you look at it, you are deporting us. Before we left, we all have a dream. Isn't it?
Yes.
We all have a dream, you understand? Hoping that when we get there, we achieve something. Because a lot of people are going there, even through flights, through land. We see what they achieve. We believe that when we get there, we also achieve more than that. That's how we live.
So this is the story of people with, as he said at the end, a dream, and that unfortunately, I don't want to use a cliche here, but that turned into a nightmare. And so a lot of them left Nigeria trying to get to Italy and to get to Europe through Libya. And some of them made it and then get deported back and they lose everything. And in the meanwhile, sold off as slaves, you know, beaten,
killed.
Sexually assaulted, killed, electric shocks. And they're all their life savings stolen from them. Then they have to go back to where they started and start from square one. It is some chance that if they stayed, that they would be pretty hard workers. Having gone through all of that for freedom, that they might actually live out that dream. But we've decided we're not going to give them that chance. And so it's just super disheartening to see what the world has come to. And I don't know how much people can withstand. So things are boiling over in lots of parts of the world, and they're trying to escape. But these guys who believed in the Western dream, we turn around, and guys like Trump turn around and say, no, they're the bad guys. They're the ones that are causing trouble. No, they're running from trouble. They're running towards freedom and opportunity. Yeah. And we slammed the door shut on them. And it's not just our fault. Obviously, what's happening in Libya doesn't have anything to do with us. And it is abhorrent And there's a lot of terror in the world. And so, look, just a quick note on the actual CNN exclusive there. I often criticize them, but you got to give credit where credit is due. They did a wonderful job in bringing a powerful and important story there. And,
yeah,
and like I said, the link is in the description box below for the whole video.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you watch a video like that, and I mean, I like to imagine that everyone has to be affected by that. Like, not just progressives, not just people who sort of define themselves by their empathy, but how does a Trump supporter watch that and not feel something for that person? Like, that person has gone through something that none of us can even imagine, potentially. And you can see it on his face experiencing it. And not just, like, he's been beaten for 8 months, a slave, and he's more scared of the future now because he has to go back to a situation that was so bad that he fled from in the first place. And I don't understand how you could watch that and still think the things so many Americans think about migrants, about people trying to get here, and especially if any country should have an easy starting point for understanding the lengths people will go to travel internationally, to start a new life. How can anyone in America not understand that drive? Not understand the people who came to America and were indentured servants or were slaves? The terrible things that happened to them, how they were economic. I don't understand how people cannot have that. How can not have that empathy after watching that?
Because John, you saw a room full of your fellow human beings. Unfortunately, some people see that room and that's not what they see. And that's in a lot of ways the phenomenon that allows them to get so abused in wherever they wind up. Because people don't empathize them as fellow humans.
Maybe I'm still naive. I know you're probably right. And I know in general, definitely, if you were to tell that story, 35% of the country would say, fuck them, let them die. But if you sat them down in a room and made them watch the video, how can you listen to that person's voice and him telling his experience and not be affected by it? Look, the sad thing is this is going to continue. And there's various organizations both inside of Libya who are working to extradite the Nigerians who are being abused there. There's people who, like, for instance, the African Union chairman, President Alpha Conde of Guinea, demanded prosecutions over the trade, saying it's from another era. That's good. And the Libyan government says that there's an investigation into the slave auctions, but said the international community needed to provide more support if it was going to tackle the problem. And that's where, theoretically, America could be a leader. We could aid in that situation, not just in, you know, the slave trades and the abuses and the murders and the rapes that come as a result of the migrant crisis, but could help to resettle those people, could help to stabilize the countries so that people don't feel like they have to flee, possibly at the risk of their own life. We could do all of those things. We will do none of those things. Under Obama, perhaps, there would be some efforts. When you actually had a State Department that had people working there, that cared about the mission and the potential for the US to do some good abroad. But there will be absolutely nothing under Donald Trump, and this will continue.
All right. Let's go to another story that involves tragedy, and I'm going to be a bad guy and say that didn't end so poorly.
Okay, we'll see. A Bosnian war crimes trial took an even darker turn than you would expect based on its subject matter this week. In this video you're about to see, you're going to see Slobodan Praljak, a 72-year-old who had been previously given a lengthy term, wanted to appeal that, and came back into court to find out about what was going to happen to him. And then this happened.
Slobodan Praljak is not a war criminal. I am rejecting the court ruling.
Stop, please. Please sit down.
Make sure, a little bit of compassion. He's not in good position here. For an author who is a popular.
I have taken poison.
Monsieur le Président. Il vient. Notre client dit qu'il a bu un poison ce matin.
We suspend, please, the curtains.
You see there, the judge completely dumbstruck about what to do in that situation. He drank a vial of poison, said, I have taken poison, and then later died in a hospital. from the poison he'd ingested.
Okay, so he had received a 20-year jail sentence for being a war criminal, because that's what he is. Back in during the Bosnian War of 92 to 95, in the beginning, the Bosnian Croats and Bosnian Muslims were fighting against the Serbs. The Serbs had committed atrocities, some of which were deemed a genocide, and Srebrenica was deemed a genocide. And in 2013, Praljak's forces committed atrocities, and he did not stop them. And he was sentenced for crimes that happened in the city of Mostar. And nonetheless, when he was sentenced, so he took his poison. And I don't know if you're a war criminal. I don't know if it's an unliberal thing of me, but I don't care. So I think it was Goering during the Nuremberg trials who also took poison, and people were like, "Oh no, that's a shame because what? We were going to hang him anyway." Mm-hmm. And so I guess it would have been better if we hung him, but he was a war criminal. He was adjudicated as such, and then he died. Same with Praljak. But the Croatian Prime Minister Plenković said that it was a deep moral injustice towards six indicted Croats from Bosnia and the Croatian people, because no matter what, people defend their own. And yeah. So all those, in that case, Muslims were butchered, and they're like, yeah, but they're not Croats, so who cares? And everybody, you know, not everybody does it, thank God for that, but the ones who do it, of course, the Ottoman government. And then, hey, where did all the Armenians go? Don't care, they're not going to admit it. And they're not going to talk about the genocide, and they're going to protect their own. Now the Croats, when the Muslims are butchered, and it keeps going round and round and round. So when this guy takes the poison and ends his life, it is a dramatic moment, but one I certainly don't shed a tear for.
Yeah, you could say the liberal position is pro-euthanasia. If somebody wants to be, if they want to take their own life, they can. And I guess he did that. He gave himself the death sentence there. But yeah, it's as you said, I mean, you see it sort of in this person, a microcosm of this inability to face what you've done. The belief that either we shouldn't talk about it, or if it was done, you know, for your community during a time of war, is it really a crime anyway? Why are people, you know, being PC in this way when it comes to war crimes?
And it goes it's all across the world. So Columbus does it, and for whatever insane reason, Italian Americans have latched on to Christopher Columbus. I get it through tradition, etc. He wipes out almost, what was it, millions of people.
Huge percentage.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. Like, so almost the definition of a genocide. No, Columbus is great.
That's a genocide.
Andrew Jackson, Trail of Tears, marches Native Americans, they die on the way, and it's relocation. No, Andrew Jackson's one of us, so he's awesome. So Donald Trump, in commemorating Native Americans who served in World War II and were instrumental in defeating the Nazis, does it in front of an Andrew Jackson picture, because no, he's ours. Yeah. And the Turkish, present day Turkish government. Okay. Oh, the Armenians were marched out. Why? Did they decide to up and leave? No, they were marched out because the Turkish government at a bare minimum, or the Ottoman government at the time, at a bare minimum allowed it, made it happen, etc.
Yeah.
What did they just decided to leave their homes? No, but it's because we're Turkish. No, we have to defend it and not admit it. Of course, they're not there anymore. And yes, a lot of them died. Yes, a lot of them died. And so, but no, if you're Turkish, you defend the Turks. If you're Croat, you defend the Croats, and on it goes.
And here in America, we have people who to this day try to say slavery, not as bad as you libs try to make it out to be. You know, possibly the darkest stain on our country's past, they try to spin as being an okay thing. There were people, I believe earlier this year, defending the Japanese concentration camps, people who defend the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Like, we have our own stains, and we have huge swaths of our population that refuse to admit that our history is littered, maybe more than the history of most other countries, with terrible acts of that nature.
And Bill O'Reilly saying, yeah, maybe slaves built the White House, but they were lucky because they got food and clothing. Yeah, though the slaves were so lucky. As long as it's your guys doing it, it's always okay. But it isn't okay. And I wish that we would identify as fellow human beings rather than whatever particular tribe that you happen to come from.
Yeah.
So the actions of Praljak in the first place were despicable. I'm glad that he was convicted as a war criminal that he is. The actions of the Croatian prime minister still defending him today are abhorrent.
Yeah, and it's always good when you see actual war crimes being prosecuted. There are a lot of people walking around in very nice places, even in our country, who have done things far worse. And because they're powerful and they're well connected, there will be no convictions. Do you want to take a short break before coming back?
Yeah, we got to take a break. We got to do the Matt Lauer story and then Garrison Keillor, there's so much more. Come right back, guys. Back on the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, John Iadarola with you guys. Bernice Panders writes in, some of us who have no vehicle, no local friends or family support and are disabled for life, net is our only access to the world. And if they cut that access off, man, they're playing with fire. The pitchforks are next, and it's not going to be us. We're not the pitchfork people, but they're behind us. And these guys don't get it. Like, these corporations are slowly squeezing the life out of us.
Yeah.
Anyway, By the Lake 23 says genocidal war criminals are the ultimate cowards. Woke Poppy says, you know how Germany is super ashamed of the Nazis and their crimes? America should be ashamed for the Civil War, the Confederate, and for slavery. And so, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I feel like I think the Germans did the best job in dealing with what has happened in the past.
We might disagree with some of the ways they've addressed it.
Mm-hmm. In terms of limiting freedom of speech?
Yeah, in some areas.
Maybe the pendulum.
But they have addressed it.
Pendulum has swung a little too far, but boy, I mean, owning up to it and going in a different cultural path is 1,000 times better than what many of the other countries have done, Japan. Yeah. Turkey, among others.
Like, imagine if we had a president who owned up to just our experience in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria over the past 2 decades. Even like that, we don't have to go back to everything, but just the immediate terrible things we've done internationally.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
Okay. Well, I mean, Obama did do it. He briefly said that he talked about how we did the coup in Iran.
That's
deposed their democratically elected leader, and the Republicans, the barbarians that they are, said, oh, he's doing an apology tour.
Yeah.
No, he's being honest, which I know you despise.
I forgot about that, actually.
Yes.
All right. Both parties are still the same, though. Anyway, okay, the big news of the day, perhaps. Matt Lauer, the NBC News morning anchor, was apparently fired today, this morning, pretty early, over detailed sexual misconduct allegations. Now, there was originally in the morning one set of allegations, and since then others have come out. Actually, not long before we began this show, two additional women came forward about their experiences with Matt Lauer. We're going to have the reactions of some of his co-hosts and co-workers, but first some of the information about what he is alleged to have done. The first, as the co-host of NBC's Today, Matt Lauer once gave a colleague a sex toy as a present. It included an explicit note about how he wanted to use it on her, which left her mortified. Goes on to say, on another day, he summoned a different female employee to his office and then dropped his pants, showing her his penis.
Oh my God.
After the employee declined to do anything, visibly shaken, he reprimanded her for not engaging in a sexual act. He would sometimes quiz female producers about who they'd slept with, offering to trade names, and he loved to engage in a crass quiz game with men and women in the office called Fuck, Marry, or Kill, in which he would identify the female co-hosts that he'd most like to sleep with. And then, and this is perhaps, this is just bizarre. His office was in a secluded space, and he had a button under his desk that allowed him to lock his door from the inside without getting up.
Oh, good God.
These are all at this point allegations, but that seems verifiable.
Come on.
Does he have the button? If he does have the button, that's hard to explain.
There's a whole secret world that apparently we were totally unfamiliar with. And when I say we, I mean, you know, the women who did not suffer it and the men who did not perpetrate it. Like, I don't know, I lived in this like nice suburb and we didn't have weird stuff going on, and I guess I led a secluded life and didn't realize that people locked their doors with a secret button and dropped their pants and to their coworker. That's insane. So look, and varying degrees, and I know some people hate it when we talk about degrees, but degrees do matter, okay? So it's one thing when a New York Times reporter is coming on to women when he's drunk and he kisses them and tries to kiss them, they say no, and he backs away. Okay, he's terrible, yada, yada. So it's one thing if Matt Lauer is giving a vibrator to a friend and the joke didn't land and it was taken very poorly. It's another thing when he gives a vibrator and says, this is how you should use it on yourself, and it's a coworker. No, yeah. No.
I've and got something worse, by the way.
It's a third thing when he just drops his pants and he's like, give me something. That's Roger Ailes. That's
yeah. It's like a lot of the other men. They all seem to pull down their pants. Would you like a fourth thing?
Okay. Jeez.
So this is one of the complaints that came out later in the day. One complaint came from a former employee who said Mr. Lauer had summoned her to his office in 2001 and then had sex with her. She provided her account to the New York Times but declined to let her name be used. She told the Times that she felt helpless because she didn't want to lose her job and that she didn't report the encounter at the time because she felt ashamed. At the time, the woman told her husband, now ex-husband, about the encounter. She also told a friend about it 5 years ago, which the friend also confirmed. So this is a sort of verification that they do. But so this goes beyond harassment. It goes beyond implied threats, jokes, which are bad enough by themselves, to actually using the implied threat of a woman losing her career to force a woman to have sex with you, according to the complaint.
Look, I'm blown away by it. I can't believe how many men did this to women they worked with. So, look, there's some things that have no ambiguity at all. It doesn't matter the non. So, you fuck, marry, and kill. You want to play that game with your friends? People want to joke around, play it on Howard Stern. That's one thing, man. And nobody's gonna get into your private life and hey, what'd you do in your living room with your buddies, yeah. Right? When you're doing it with people you work with and they all work with and you're joking around about women you'd like to sleep with who work under you, not cool. Okay, sleeping with that woman, and maybe Matt in his mind, and I don't know him at all, right, thought, oh no, it was consensual, and not realizing the enormous pressure that he put her under, mm-hmm. Okay? Even if, all right, so I'm not saying that in any way, don't get me wrong, right? I'm just telling you about different perspectives that maybe that's the excuse he makes to himself, which doesn't justify it in not even 1%. But the part where you go, here, lock the door, drop your pants, here, do this to me. There's no ambiguity yeah. There, right? So it's amazing how much they abuse their power. And these guys are on top of the world. You know how much money Matt Lauer made? He made $28 million a year.
That's
what are you doing? Go get laid on your own time, you idiot. And why are you abusing those poor women working underneath you? Why are you doing that? But you know why? It's a power. It must be a power thing. Maybe that we don't understand it because we're not that powerful.
Yeah.
Right? Like they must enjoy the
putting people in a position where they're forced to do something.
Yes, yes. Whether it's Weinstein or Lauer or Ailes or O'Reilly. Seems like it's the same story over and over again.
It's like the sex is almost incidental to them. It's the feeling of exertion of power.
And
it's hard to imagine with the button under the table and these are what have come out now. Is anyone going to be shocked if tomorrow there's more? Not just of other people, but specifically of Matt Lauer here. Again, I don't know anything about him. I don't know anything about the allegations. But it seems like the beginning of a pattern.
Guys.
Don't know anything.
No, look, the reason I go through all the potential ambiguity blah, 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 is because some people still think it's no big deal, it's no big deal, it's no big deal. Dude, there's a button under his table to lock the door. There's no other explanation for that.
I can guarantee there are no weird buttons under this table.
Yes.
There's your noise machine. That's weird in another way, but it's not threatening necessarily. A lot of buttons on it though. I don't know what they all do.
Oh yeah?
I think it's weird.
I'm comfortable with that use of that button.
Yes.
Jeez. Okay. Would you like to go on to? Oh, actually, you know, before we move on, just really fast, can we go to this video of Savannah Guthrie, obviously colleague of Matt Lauer, and the experience that she's undergoing?
You know, for the moment, all we can say is that we are heartbroken. I'm heartbroken for Matt. He is my dear, dear friend and my partner, and he is beloved by many, many people here. And I'm heartbroken for the brave colleague who came forward to tell her story, and any other women who have their own stories to tell. Mm-hmm. And we are grappling with a dilemma that so many people have faced these past few weeks. How do you reconcile your love for someone with the revelation that they have behaved badly? Mm-hmm. And I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that this reckoning that so many organizations have been going through is important. It's long overdue, and it must result in workplaces where all women, all people feel safe and respected.
So, look, she's in a super tough spot, as a lot of folks have been recently, where you work with somebody, you like them, and then you find out things about them that are very, very uncomfortable and disconcerting.
Yeah.
And so I feel terrible for Savannah Guthrie, and Al Roker later was also quite affected by it. And they've worked with this guy for a long time, and they never experienced the door getting locked on them.
Yeah.
They never experienced the sexual harassment. So to them, he was just a good friend and colleague. And by the way, not everybody had that same experience with Matt Lauer. The person who was there before Savannah Guthrie felt like he ran an all boys club and they did not get along, and that he felt that she pushed him out, but nothing along these lines, right? And so I just always feel bad for the people, because she, like Sarah Silverman said, you know, what am I going to do? This is terrible. But when she was talking about Louis C.K., but he's my friend, and I don't know how to resolve that.
You might have known him for years or decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I often wonder, like, every murderer has people who know them. I mean, how do you reconcile what you thought about this person who might be a relative of yours or a friend of yours or a coworker of yours with what they've done? And especially, I mean, like, when it's clearly predatory, that there's a sort of system, that there's a button under the desk, that there's a pattern going on, that could have been going on while you were working with this person. How do you go through that? I don't understand how. Like, you feel like you know the person, that you've built up this relationship, you've built up a trust. And so that's got to be difficult, on top of obviously the far worse experience of the people who are victimized by these people.
And then finally, you know, Andy Cohen had asked Katie Couric back in 2012, what's Lauer's most annoying habit, because they worked together for a long time. And Katie Couric is not the person I'm referring to. Ann Curry was the one who said that Lauer had kind of pushed her out and ran a boys club. But Katie Couric said about his most annoying habit, quote, he pinches me on the ass a lot. Now, if he's doing that to Katie Couric, who's super powerful, who was his co-anchor, maybe we shouldn't be overly surprised by what he was doing to non-powerful women.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, everybody in every office is having conversations about what's acceptable based on how you know people. There are people who feel like they're very close friends with their coworkers, and so maybe some things are more appropriate. At a certain point, though, some things, like when you're literally pinching a person's ass, that's hard to imagine how that can feel justified. Let's go into more then. Okay. Matt Lauer wasn't the only media figure who lost their job today over reports of sexual misconduct. We also have Minnesota Public Radio's Garrison Keillor, who also had all business ties to that organization severed earlier today. This is the creator and retired host of A Prairie Companion, who had hosted that show for several decades. I was not personally, did not know about this person, but apparently very high profile. Let's see. He said earlier today that he has been fired by Minnesota Public Radio over allegations of what the network called improper behavior. And eventually later on in the day put out a statement about some information. Earlier he had said that this is a more interesting and complicated situation than they know, that he had some sort of private information. Well, now we have a little bit of that information. He said this, I meant to pat her back after she told me about her unhappiness. And her shirt was open, and my hand went up it about 6 inches. She recoiled. I apologized. I sent her an email of apology later, and she replied that she had forgiven me and not to think about it. We were friends. We continued to be friendly right up until her lawyer called. And he continued saying, if I had a dollar for every woman who asked to take a selfie with me and who slipped an arm around me and let it drift down below the belt line, I'd have at least $100. So this is poetic irony of a high order, but I'm just fine. I had a good long run, and I'm grateful for it and for everything else.
So, impossible to know. So, the Matt Lauer story that also came out today seems fairly clear, with the button under the desk to lock the door when somebody comes in and dropping his pants, etc. I don't know if Garrison Keillor is telling the whole truth there about just, hey, it was an innocent pat on the back. If he is, then I'm on his side. But that's only one side of a story, and you know, if lawyers will tell you, the only thing worse than no sides of a story is one side of a story. And so we haven't heard out the woman or women, I don't know in this case. So it might be worse than that. And by the way, yeah, just because your ass has been grabbed doesn't mean you're allowed to grab other people's asses.
That's weird logic.
Yeah.
To think that that becomes acceptable.
Look, I understand what he's saying. He's like, look, it's not like I went to prosecute those 100 women who grabbed my ass. Yes, but that's your prerogative. You chose not to do that. That doesn't mean that you get to do it to others.
Exactly. Now, timing-wise, we don't know for sure that this was the thing that spurred the accusations against him. But I believe 2 days ago, he did publish an article. If we could bring up that screenshot. The article is, Al Franken should resign. That's absurd. And one section, I'm not going to read the entire thing, you can find it. But one section of that opinion piece reads, on the flight home, in a spirit of low comedy, Al ogled Miss Tweeden and pretended to grab her and a picture was taken. 11 years later, a talk show host in LA, she goes public and there's talk of resignation. This is pure absurdity, and the atrocity it leads to is a code of public deadliness. No kidding. That's a strong take on that. Mm-hmm. And it does appear, these are not causal things, but very often some of these men, especially in media, who have been found to have engaged in sexual misconduct, will have spoken out against women who make accusations in the past. I mean, I believe, I'm not going to say specifics, but I believe that there were some other cases of that, and this is apparently one of them. It could be that they're feeling, when they see these accusations being made, when they're seeing careers being ended, they start to think back on their past, and they wonder if theoretically they could be the next one.
No, in this case, he was. Whether he's right that it was unjust for Franken and himself, or he's completely wrong and they both did it a number of times. In the case of Franken, I don't know if the editorial came out before or after we found out there were 2, 3, 4 women who claimed, had other claims against them, including, again, grabbing their ass, etc. And we can't adjudicate all these, so I don't know. I do know of what appeared to be a more innocent time of the kind of times that he talked about at Prairie Home. But it turns out those times were not more innocent. In a lot of ways, they were more guilty. We just didn't know about it. So now we do, and then he reacts like, "Ah, damn it! Why are we going on this witch hunt?"
Yeah,
and some people will be wrongly accused, and it will be terrible. And if he was complaining about that, he'd be right. But if it turns out that he did do it, and now we know that Franken did do it on several occasions, then it's not a terrible thing. It's a disinfectant. It's a light that shows you what was going on when we were pretending that everything was fine back at Prairie Home.
Yeah. And I will say I'm going to be super careful about this, but in that same vein of the possibility that people are projecting out about these accusations, worried about what might happen to them, there is a personality who appears on Fox News who did a long tweet storm, incredibly detailed, about their concerns about how women are going crazy accusing people. So that might make some news later on. I'm going to be super careful, but it was
okay.
It was an interesting display earlier today.
Okay, so as we, guys, for the online audience, we are going to come back and do one quick segment because we promised you Trump against Scarborough and the dead intern and all that. So we're going to do that in just about a minute or so. For the radio audience, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Of course, if you join at tytnetwork.com/join, you can get the show anytime without commercials and get the whole show. And everybody go to justdemocrats.com/Allison and wolf-pack.com/John. To go help those causes. All right, we'll be right back for the internet audience. All right, back on the Young Turks. Unregistered Chicano writes in, meanwhile, a sexual predator masquerading as president, judgment tweets about other scandals. Well, we're going to tell you about that in a second because that's the one we're going to talk about, Scarborough. But in the meanwhile, speaking of a monster tweeting, John called it an hour ago. Look at this.
I called it, but I really deserve no credit because it's just a knee-jerk reaction. So Theresa May put out a fairly benign statement about Donald Trump randomly tweeting out Islamophobic videos. I said that he would attack her. And 25 seconds ago, he tweeted, at Theresa May, don't focus on me, focus on the destructive radical Islamic terrorism that is taking place within the United Kingdom. We are doing just fine. Well, if we're doing just fine, then maybe we don't need the wall. I guess we're okay.
Or the Muslim ban.
And so that was one tweet. God only knows what he will tweet about her in the near future.
No, John, you're not being fair to yourself. You called it an hour ago on the show.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yes. No, that's a told you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a solid.
Told ya.
That's a solid ass told you.
Okay. My predictions in elections suck, but told yous, I'm doing pretty well. Focus on yourself. We're doing okay.
Okay.
In our predictions.
So, all right, guys. Quick updates before we give you the last story. JustDemocrats.com/Allison. Can I see? No, it has barely moved. $3 more, I think, since the last time we showed it. 180,545. Pretty I was awesome. Hoping to see 181 by the end of the show. I would still love to see that. Don't forget, of
Show's
course,
not over.
JDems.us/TYT3 to help Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Cory Bush, and Chardo as well fight against some corporate Democrats and then Republicans too. And then let me see, wolf-pack.com/John. No, that's also just at 58 donors, exactly where we started. Okay.
Maybe the graphic hasn't been updated.
Okay. Wolfpack is trying to get money out of politics. They need to hire guys like John so they could do that. We could put up as many as 5 states this year, but we need some soldiers out there. So that's why it's not this John, wolf-pack.com/John to get him on the Wolfpack team.
All I don't know much about him, but on name alone, seems like a good guy.
On name alone. Okay, all right, what's next?
Okay, one more story for you. As news broke this morning about Matt Lauer, Donald Trump lost his mind and started tweeting about Matt Lauer, but also about other members of the media that he would like to see fired. Not just the actual people on TV, but the executives as well at some of these channels that he doesn't like because they have the gall to criticize the president of the United States. And then he went even farther than that, going from wanting people in the media to be fired to potentially being put in prison, not for criticizing him specifically, but for murder. So he tweeted this. So now that Matt Lauer is gone, when will the fake news practitioners at NBC be terminating the contract of Phil Griffin? Which, that's enough for one tweet. But he goes on. And will they terminate low ratings Joe Scarborough based on the unsolved mystery that took place in Florida years ago? Investigate. They don't need to investigate because people already investigate about that unsolved murder. So this is the conspiracy theory that the right wing seems to have about Joe Scarborough, that he murdered one of his interns in Florida years ago. He's referencing Laura Clausidis, 28-year-old office staffer who worked for Scarborough when he was a representative from Florida. Clausidis was found dead in the congressman's district office in July 2001. At the time, a local medical examiner investigated, ruled the death an accident, saying Clausidis had collapsed and hit her head on the side of a desk. She had an undiagnosed heart condition, according to the medical examiner, and the head trauma caused a fatal blood clot.
Okay. So, or they would have you believe that in reality she died on the set of the moon landing that didn't happen. Exactly.
It's already a tragedy that she died at all in this circumstance or otherwise, but that's not good enough for them.
So there's a bunch of twists in this story. Number one, the Republicans used to go apoplectic if you mentioned Scarborough's intern. And I never did because the medical examiner said she died of the blood clot, okay? And so there's a million things to criticize Scarborough on. That isn't one of them. But the right wing would defend him. Now the dear leader has said that we will now attack Scarborough. So the right wing now comes, oh, yeah, dead intern, of course he murdered, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unsolved mystery, right? So now they're attacking Joe Scarborough's brother, who's apparently a giant Trump fan.
Yeah.
George Scarborough, who nobody had, of course,
heard about him.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, but I know my brother didn't murder the intern, so, oh, now it affects you. So now that it finally affects you, I mean, he'd been bashing your brother all along, but now that he's basically called your brother a murderer, you're finally like,
And he's okay with him on the policy stuff.
Yeah.
It's funny, that is exactly what JR thought your position would be.
Yeah.
And it's totally true.
Oh, wait, this one affects me. When he hated Muslims, I loved it. When he hated Latinos, I loved it. When he hated black people, I loved it. Oh, you're calling my brother a murderer. Yeah. Oh, just a slight bridge too far.
There's too many conspiracies. People are getting things confused and mixed up. Joe Scarborough didn't kill his intern. Ted Cruz's father killed Joe Scarborough's intern. Obviously, Joe Scarborough has an alibi. He was busy killing Seth Rich. How do people confuse all of these things?
No.
Look, I'm joking about things that are tragedies. I understand that. But it's because people have lost their goddamn minds. Sometimes people die and it's just a tragedy. It's not a conspiracy.
No. Look, Donald Trump's a lunatic. He thinks Ted Cruz is horrible, horrible politician. I can't stand Ted Cruz. But he thinks that Ted Cruz's dad killed JFK. You have to be absolutely insane to believe that. Only a lunatic would believe that. And so millions upon millions of Americans voted for a lunatic who belongs in an insane asylum.
And he didn't say it. He didn't say these crazy things after. And he didn't just say it during the election. He has been peddling conspiracy theories for literally years. But we as a country have never been good at telling truth from falsehoods. And we're getting way worse at it. Way worse, because the ways we self-select into media and the fact that we down on education constantly, the way we defund it. This is on top of the Joe Scarborough stuff. In addition to that, recently, I just read this today, Maggie Haberman, we referred to one of these recently. Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Martin of the New York Times reported that they've spoken with people who have spoken with the president recently. And recently, he has multiple times regularly asserted that Obama's birth certificate is fake. Not in 2013. He's doing that now.
No, the guy's lost his mind.
He won the popular vote, and that the Access Hollywood tape that he apologized for is fake. It was doctored. It didn't actually happen.
No, he has a mental condition, man. He's preposterously dumb. Two, he's a lunatic. Three, he's a pathological liar. He cannot help himself. So this is the same guy that Scarborough that he was in love with before. Oh, Scarborough, yeah. Oh yeah, you're tremendous, you're awesome. And then Scarborough turns up, you're terrible, you're a murderer, blah, blah, blah. And look, and in this topsy-turvy world, he gets me to defend guys I can't stand. Like Ted Cruz's father, who thinks that Jesus picked Ted Cruz to lead the country. Then who picked Trump? Anyway, so. Okay.
I got an idea.
Yeah, all right. And then Scarborough, I can't stand Scarborough, but between Scarborough and the lunatic, okay, I'm going Scarborough.
Yeah.
Hey, lesser of two evils. Okay, all right, for Christ's sake. Anyway, and then Phil Griffin. Phil Griffin and I don't get along. That's, I think, fairly, for the people who know it, common knowledge because of how I left MSNBC. But why is he blaming Phil Griffin for Matt Lauer? Matt Lauer's at NBC, Phil Griffin runs MSNBC. Matt Lauer doesn't work for Phil Griffin. Mm-hmm. Those things are not remotely connected. Yeah. Oh, but I don't like MSNBC. Phil Griffin's the problem. Why don't we? And then you're talking about investigating Scarborough. What is this fascist going to do? I mean, he asked the Justice Department.
He has the power to investigate people.
Yeah, he asked the Justice Department to interfere and do a political investigation of Hillary Clinton, and they are now considering it. Are they going to consider an investigation of Joe Scarborough next, because now we're doing political investigations.
So
this is how fascism begins.
You investigate your political opponents and you investigate those in the media. You pack the courts on the side as well. That's also going on. But like, as much as this is conspiracy theories, this is a multi-tweet, and it's not the only time he's done it, but it's the latest attack against people in the media who criticize him. And potentially with governmental consequences. He can actually do something about Joe Scarborough if he wants to. But he regularly attacks those who have the gall to criticize him. Even light criticisms. It's not like Joe Scarborough is like John Olivering him on a regular basis.
Look,
he just doesn't support him anymore. And that makes him a murderer.
Look, guys. So there's plenty of reasons to impeach him already. But the open question, a lot of people have a lot of different opinions on that. But if he goes to pardon anyone that is part of the investigation of him, so pardoning Mike Flynn, pardoning Manafort, any of those guys, he should be immediately impeached. If he imprisons any of his political opponents, he should be immediately impeached. And if he imprisons anyone in the media who he perceives to be an opponent, he should be immediately impeached. Because if you don't immediately impeach him, you then say it's okay.
It's okay.
And then Katie bar the door. Because that means he can imprison anyone he doesn't like. And then we've lost our democracy completely. So as insane as these tweets are against Scarborough, it is a very, very serious matter. We cannot let this go any further.
Yeah. I will say this. This is aside from that topic. Totally different. I don't want to die ever. But if I die here, I like you guys. So dump my body somewhere. Because I don't want to be a liability in terms of conspiracy theories for you later on. So just like throw me into a lake or something. Because if I die here, I can take down the whole damn thing.
Two, 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 two. Okay, Jesus Christ. All right.
I don't want to cause trouble.
All right. When we come back for the members, a rare post game where it's John and I. So John's on the show a lot, but since he normally doesn't make it to the end, he's almost never in a post game.
I'm not often. Yeah.
He's not going to die in the studios. He is going to make it to the end.
Okay. We'll see.
Okay. So we'll have some. We'll finally switch it up a little bit and have a little bit of fun in the post game. Okay. TYTnetwork.com/join to join us. Bye bye.